be a very, very powerful, powerful day. If you believe that, say amen. We want to get right into this today. We're continuing on with what God has been communicating to us through his word these last few weeks. For he's been talking to us about the body of Christ. Somebody say the body of Christ. More specifically, he's been speaking to us concerning his plan, his purpose that he desires to establish within this church and within this body of believers, the principle where the body ministers to the body, where each member of the body plays a specific role, a specific function, and God has called you to play that specific function so as to be a blessing and to minister to the rest of the body. Somebody said amen. I absolutely believe that when we begin to be obedient to this principle of the body ministering to the body, I believe absolutely that it is in turn going to be the catalyst that releases a revival into our midst like we have never witnessed before. I believe that with everything within me today. I don't just say that as something to say. I absolutely believe with all of my heart that God is setting us up here through his word and through his teaching for something phenomenal to be poured out in our midst. I want to get right into this today for there's another layer of all of this that we need to get. We need to grasp some more teaching that needs to go forth so that there's no confusion, so that there's understanding in the body. For in the last few services, we've been talking about how the body is supposed to love the body. Am I right about it? And that in turn, when you love the body, we'll probably do some more teaching on that in the near future, not necessarily continuing with the series, but just some more teaching along some of these same lines. But when you love the body, you'll in turn have a great desire to minister to and care for the body. And so when we love all, we will minister to all. We've also learned that as members of the body, we're not to be so private or so prideful as to be unwilling to share our needs with the body. For when we communicate our needs to the body, it releases them to strengthen us. It releases them to minister to us. It releases them to be a help and an encouragement to us. When we release to them and speak to them what our need is, it releases them and in their particular part of the body to minister back to us. But I felt like the Holy Ghost spoke to me this last week in order that I might simply remind the church so that we keep everything in perspective here and so we keep everything in its proper order. I simply feel led of the Holy Ghost today to remind the church that whereas God has ordained for us as a people to take our needs to the body in our time of need, it is his plan for all members of the body to find strength and help and encouragement from all other members of the body. We cannot fail to remember that it is still God's plan for us to take our needs to him first. Somebody said amen. The book says it like this, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How many know that he cares for us like nobody cares for us? So he says, I want you to cast all of your cares upon me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So all of that said, get to verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's went through what we've gone through. He knows what we're facing. He is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He is touched by the pain and the struggles and the heartache of our lives. And because of that, he has the power to do something about it. So what are we supposed to do? We in turn are supposed to go to him boldly, to him, to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. So in our time of need, we are to go to him first. Somebody said amen. Now, what I feel like the Holy Ghost wants to remind us about today is this. Going to a brother or sister in the Lord in our time of trial, we've established that through the teaching, and it's right, and it is good, and it is biblical, and we need to do it, and we need to do it more than we've ever done it before. But God did not establish us going to our brothers and sisters in the Lord to be a substitute for going to the Lord. Does that make sense? Taking our needs to the body of Christ was never meant to take the place of us taking our needs to Christ. In fact, I want to take you back to the same scriptural account that we talked about when talking about God's plan for taking our needs to the body. I want to take you back to that. For if you'll remember, Peter and John were put in prison in Acts chapter 4 because of the raising of the lame man in Acts chapter 3. We don't have time to go back into all of that. But so they raised the lame man in Acts 3. God worked through them, raised the lame man. The city fathers and elders didn't like that, so they threw him into prison. And while they were in prison, they were questioned and they were threatened, the Bible says. And then they were further threatened and very possibly being further threatened. Some commentaries say they were even threatened with their very lives. They didn't even know if they were going to live that night or if they were going to be killed the next day. And immediately after they were released from prison, the Bible says this, and this is what we've already talked about. Immediately once they were let go of prison, Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. Who was their own company? Their own company was the church. And reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So this is our example here of taking our needs one to another, taking our needs to the body of Christ. Immediately when they were let go, they took it to the church. They took it to the body of Christ. They took it to the brothers and sisters and Lord. Say, hey, this is what's going on. They threatened us. This is what's happening, and we need you to help us pray about this. But if you'll rewind the story a little bit, you'll find that while they were in prison, and when they didn't know what was about to happen to them, when they didn't know what was going to happen, when they didn't know if the soldier was about to come in and take them and take them down and cut their head off, they didn't know. They were brought out to be questioned. Acts chapter 4, verse 7, they brought them out and it says this, and when they had set them in the midst, when they put Peter and John in the middle of all these people, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then watch verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, and you got to get the picture. He's surrounded by all these people. These were up the higher ups. These were the most prominent, powerful people in all of that land. And there's two, Peter and John, standing there surrounded by all these people. And these people didn't like them at all. So there was probably all these looks, and they could feel the hatred and the resentment towards them. But the Bible says that Peter stood, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he begins to speak to them, and he begins to preach to them. So you got to get this. The Bible does not record what they did that night in prison. Paul and Silas, it tells us what they did in prison. But it's quiet. The scripture is quiet. It doesn't tell us what Peter and John did. But whatever they did, it allowed them to stand before the leaders full of the Holy Ghost. So that lets me know that somewhere along the line, they had taken their need to the Lord. Somewhere along the line, they understood that they needed to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost in order to get through what they were facing. Somebody said amen. Somewhere along the line, they learned that taking their needs to the church was something that they must absolutely do. In fact, as soon as that prison cell door shut behind them, they immediately took it to the family. But before they ever took it to the church, they understood without hesitation, we're going to take this first to God. We're going to do whatever we have to do in order, in the middle of our trial, that we can be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and God will give us what we need in order to face what we're going through. They took it to God first, and then they took it to the body. And this is important, because there's been many times in my ministry where somebody would call me, and if I've had a conversation similar to this with any in this room, I'm not thinking of you right now, but I am going to help you right now. There's been many times in my ministry where someone would call me for advice, and they say, Pastor, I got this need, and Pastor, I got this problem, Pastor, I got this issue going on, and I need you to help me, and I need you to give me some counsel or give me some wisdom or whatever. And I'll ask them many times in some of the first few parts of my words back to them, I will ask them, have you been praying? No. Have you been reading the Bible and seeing what the Word of God would have to say? No. Have you been fasting about this situation? No. And you see, if we're not careful, we can get to the place where it's just easier to let someone else pray, someone else fast, someone else seek God, someone else read the Word, someone else get revelation and understanding through relationship with God, and then just call those people when we have a need and say, what do I do? It's quiet, but I'm helping somebody. It's easier to just let somebody else. How many know prayers work? Fastings work. Reading the Bible, studying, relationship with God. It's work. And it's easier sometimes to just let somebody else do all the work in order to get in right relationship with God and be close to God and have wisdom and understanding from God and then just punch up their number and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm going through. What am I supposed to do? And have them speak to us. If we're not careful, we can begin relying on the relationship with God that other people have in order to help us through our time of need instead of getting our own relationship with God and taking our needs to the Lord first. I understand that there are those times when we're weak and there are going to be those times when we've fallen and we just need somebody else to pick us up. I understand that. There's going to be those moments when we just can't do it. There's those moments when we just hit a brick wall and we just come to the end of our rope and we just need somebody who's spiritually strong to come alongside of us and minister to us and pick us up and all that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone who month after month after month, year after year after year, refuses to build their own relationship with the Lord because they think they can just contact the body and the body will minister to them. They think they can just contact the body because I know, let me find out who in the body is really prayed up. Let me find out who in the body is really fast and who in the body is really connected to God. And that's the person I'm going to call because I don't want to do any of those things. Oh, hallelujah. Abraham Lincoln addressed this kind of attitude when he says this, and I quote, he said, "You cannot help people permanently by doing for them what they could and should do for themselves." Hear me. The body of Christ can't help you permanently if you are unwilling to do what you could and should be doing in order to maintain a strong, real, powerful relationship with God for yourself. Somebody else's relationship might get you through one storm. And someone else's relationship might get you through a second storm. But at some point, there's going to come a storm along your life's path that's going to cause you to come crashing down if you don't have a relationship with the Lord for yourself. Therefore, I believe the Holy Ghost is talking to us today about our great need to know Him and have relationship with Him like we've never had before, so we'll know who to go to first in our time of need. And then God said, you bring it to me first and then you take it to the body. Because many times, and what you have to understand is, many times when we take the things to the Lord first and pray first, then that releases God to begin working through the body to minister to the need. It's a whole thing. It's a whole cyclical pattern that God, how many know, we talked last time that God uses people. He uses people, and we take our needs to the Lord and it release our cries, our petition releases Him to work through people and to minister to us. But the danger is that we skip the first step and go straight to the second step. Somebody said amen. It's just possible that when you skip the first step and go to the second step, the person that you think you should go to is not the person that God would have picked at all. The person that you go to might not even be able, that might not even be their office. That might not even be the part of their body that they minister to. They might can be there for you and strengthen you, but there might be somebody else sitting on a pew that you haven't even thought of that has the exact word, the exact thing that you need. But because you bypassed the first step and went to the second step, you kept God bound And God couldn't release who he knew needed to be released in order to minister to your need. Somebody said amen. Now, we've discussed this in the past, but when Jesus describes himself, he says it like this in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now get this. In him, we've talked about this before, but in him is every way that you and I will ever need to take. He said, I'm the way. So in him is the way. So when we question and we wonder and when we have an issue and we think, well, what's the way I'm supposed to go here? What's the direction I'm supposed to take in this situation? The Lord says, I'm the way. In me is your way. And then he says that in him is every bit of truth. Every bit of truth that you and I will ever need in our moments of confusion. Anybody ever been confused? Anybody ever been confused about what you're supposed to do and what was right and what was real and what was false and what was true and which way, right, left, up, down? Confusion. Not knowing, is this what voice is in your head? Not understanding what voice is true and what voice was right. And God says, listen, in me can be found truth. Truth for every moment of confusion that you'll ever face. In him is direction. In him is life. The life that he intended for us to live, it is in him. The direction for that life is in him. Am I making sense today? In him is direction. In him is the way that we should take in every situation. In him is every bit of truth that we need in order to make decisions for our daily living. In him is the understanding that we need in order to walk according to his purpose. It is all found in him. But here's the kicker. You got to get in him to find it. You got to get in him for those things to be released to you. We have access to all of that. We have access to all of that. Everything that he has to offer, the way, every way that we need to take, the truth, every bit of truth that we need to help us, the life, everything that we need in order to live the life that God has called us. He said, I've got it all for you. Everything that you need for all of those. He said, it's in me. And he says, you have access to all of that if you will get in me. But getting in him speaks of relationship. Getting in him speaks of time spent with him. Getting in him speaks of a desire to know him greater than what we currently know him. Getting in him speaks of being spiritually connected to him. Are you seeing this today? You got to get in him. And so the Holy Ghost is speaking to us today in order to tell us that whereas it is absolutely God's will for us to take our needs to the church family, we must first make sure that we're doing what needs to be done in order to have a relationship with him. For when that relationship happens, we will know in him is all of those things. So I'm going to take it to him first, and then I'm going to take it to the body. You'll find that Psalms 23 speaks of what we're discussing this morning. It starts off saying this, the Lord is my shepherd. You see, that's relationship. The Lord, he didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is somebody else's shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. There's a connection between the sheep and the shepherd and the shepherd and the sheep. There's a bond there. And he says, the Lord is my. We've got a connection. We have a relationship one with another. He's my shepherd and I am his sheep. There's a connection here. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. I'm saying it's all in him. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil, that's protection. For thou art with me, that is faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, that's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, that's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil, that's consecration. My cup, it runneth over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security forever. That's eternity. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But the thing that I need us to see is that all of it started by relationship. The Lord is, when you say the Lord is my shepherd, it releases the shepherd to release all of those other things. When you know him to be your shepherd, when you get in him, when you have a relationship with him, all of that other stuff unfolds to you. And when you get relationship, then comes supply, and then comes rest, and then comes refreshment, and then comes healing, and then comes guidance, and purpose, and protection, and hope, and abundance, and blessing, and security. But it starts with relationship, because he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and if you just get in me, you can get all that. Get in me. So yes, God's talking to us very strongly about the ministry that can be released through proper relationship one with another, but more strongly, he's speaking to us about the fact that all ministry ultimately flows through him. You see that? When we go to our brothers and sisters, we're not saying, I want you to minister to me. You're saying, I want God to minister through you to me. So ultimately, we understand that through that God, from God flows all ministry. And therefore, we need to make sure that the one that we have the greatest relationship with is him. The one that we have the greatest connection with is him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Paul would say it like this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him. That I may know him. So yes, I want to have a greater relationship with the body than I've ever had before. I want to esteem all others higher than I've ever esteemed you before. I want to express to them my needs greater than I've ever expressed to them before. But greater than all of that is the passion that is on the inside of me. And that God is speaking for all of us to have this passion within all inside of all of us that says that I may know him. Oh, hallelujah. Now let me show you, let me just talk about this from another portion of scripture. See, because I'm just trying to come against that feeling that some might have as we minister, as we talk about the body, ministering to the body, that, okay, I don't have to do anything. I can just talk to so-and-so, and I can just talk to so-and-so, and they'll minister to me. I'm trying to kind of break this a little bit and through teaching of the word of the Lord and instruct us on what God is trying to call us to do. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Watch. In the knowledge of him. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom. How many need wisdom? How many need revelation? He may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. What that's telling us is this: God will give us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation for the issues of our living, but it will only come through our knowledge of him. When our knowledge, hear me, when our knowledge of him increases, so does our wisdom and revelation increase concerning the questions and the issues of life. So yes, we can seek after wisdom and we can seek after revelation from books and articles and even from the church family. But we must never forget that our wisdom and our revelation will increase personally as our knowledge of Him increases. For instance, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is a point we made in our holiness series, but this it so perfectly aligns with what we're talking about here. What that's telling us is this. Our level of holiness, the wisdom, understanding, and revelation concerning this one aspect of our Christian walk called holiness, the level of that understanding and the level of our personal revelation of holiness is predicated upon our understanding of God's holiness, of Him. Therefore, if we don't have a strong understanding of Him, we will never get revelation and understanding for us as it applies to holiness. Did I lose you? Because knowledge and wisdom and revelation increases proportionately with the relationship that we have with Him. That's why when you have a greater relationship with God and when you get greater revelation of God's holiness, you in turn begin to have wisdom personally and revelation personally about your own level of holiness. Until you get a greater revelation of Him, you think everything's all right with you. But when your knowledge of Him increases, all of a sudden you get wisdom and you get knowledge and you get revelation about you and about what you're supposed to do and about the way you're supposed to live and act and all this stuff. But you didn't get it on your own. You got it because your knowledge of Him increased. Oh, hallelujah. And that's just one example in our walk with God. That's just one example. There are hundreds and hundreds more in all throughout Scripture. But the point is this, the wisdom that we need for whatever, the revelation that we need for whatever as it applies to our life and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to act and wisdom for marriage and wisdom for home and wisdom for kids and wisdom for finances and wisdom for all this stuff, wisdom and revelation for what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it and how we're supposed to get it done. All of that wisdom and all of that revelation that we need personally for our day-to-day living is found in a continued passion to have a greater knowledge of Him. Oh, help me. So we can't be so quick. Yes, go to your brother. Yes, go to your sister. God instituted this. It's a part of the purpose and it's a part of the plan. But make sure you go to Him first. And let me just say it as a side note, it would be just as wrong for you to go to Him first and say, well, I talked to God about it. I don't need to talk to. You see, that's people use that as a cover for their own pride. They're private. The pride. They don't want to talk to anybody. So they play the super spiritual card. Oh, I talked to God about that. I don't need to talk to anybody else because I've already took it to the Lord. You see, it is a two-step process, but it's one and the same. If you don't do one, it's as if you haven't done any. You got to do two. That makes sense? So we can't just take it to the body and not take it to God, but we can't just take it to God and not take it to the body. He's saying it's a twofold purpose here. It's a twofold calling, but first take it to Him and then take it one to another. For in Him is all knowledge, in Him is all wisdom. Watch this, Colossians chapter 2. Is this okay? Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts, this is good, watch this. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now watch verse 3. For in Him, in God, talking about Christ, in Him, in whom are hid,
all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him are hid all, somebody say all, not a part, not a portion, not all the treasures of wisdom, all wisdom, and all knowledge. They're hid in him. Now, couple that verse, think about that. Couple that verse with what Paul said to the church at Corinth. Watch this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, we use that sometimes to talk about heaven. It's not necessarily talking about heaven in the fullest extent, because the next verse, verse 10, says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So eye has not seen, ears not heard, all the stuff that God has prepared for them that love him. He's prepared for them that love him. Love is relationship. Prepared for them that have a relationship with him. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by what? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep, or yea, can I say the hidden things of God. Get this now. These great treasures of wisdom, these great treasures of knowledge, these great treasures of revelation and understanding that are hid in Christ, they're in him, all of them, are revealed and made known by the Spirit. To who? To those who love God. But once again, we see that love speaks of what? Relationship. And therefore, when we have, I hope I'm not losing you, when we have relationship with him, it in turn releases the Spirit of God to begin to reveal the hidden wisdoms and the hidden knowledge and the hidden revelation that is in God to us. I thought you'd run on that one. Running on the inside. Do you understand that? All wisdom, all revelation, all understanding. Say, well, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life, and I just don't know what direction I'm supposed to take, and I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with this situation. What am I going to do with my husband? What am I supposed to do with my wife? What am I going to do with my kids? What direction should I get this? Should I progress this way? Should I apply here? Should I go here? Should I take this? Should I get this home? Should I get this? What should I do? All wisdom, all understanding, and all revelation, God said, is hid in me. But it is not hid so that nobody can receive it. It is hid so only those who love me will receive it. Because those that don't love me would get wisdom without love, and that's dangerous. Wisdom without first having a love towards me is a dangerous thing. And so I got to reserve understanding and revelation and wisdom for those who love me first for just me. But when I find somebody who loves me, the Spirit will begin to search all of these hidden and deep things that would specifically apply to their present situation, and it would begin to give them revelation, and the Spirit would begin to give them understanding about what they currently are going through. But it's all in him. Let me prove this to you further. I'm hurrying. Psalms 119, 133. Order my steps in thy word. Hear me. There's nothing wrong with asking the body to give us biblical instruction and biblical direction for which way we should walk and which way we should go in those times of need and those times of struggle. But we should not go to them first before we go to his word. Take your questions to the body, absolutely. But before you do, you better make sure you've gotten the book down. and pray and say, God, I want you to speak to me through your word. I'm going to call so-and-so here in a minute. I'm going to talk to so-and-so at church. I'm going to tell them my needs. I'm going to have them pray with me and help me because very possibly you're going to work through them. But God, before I do that, I want your word. Order my steps according to your word. And let me just say this. I believe if we would take our questions to this book first, we would have a lot fewer questions to have to take to the body. For the book says it like this, Colossians 3:16. Or when we do take it to the body, since it is a twofold process to God and then to the church, when we did take it to the body, it would be merely confirmation. And what we're going to find probably as we get into all this body to ministering to the body stuff, what we're going to find many times is that when you go and have somebody minister to you, they're simply going to confirm what God is already dealing with you about. Because if we're in the right relationship with where God wants us to be and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're praying and we're fasting and we're reading his word and we're studying and we love him and we got revelation, the Spirit of God is going to reveal some things to us and he's going to give us revelation and understanding. And then we take it to the body of Christ. We say, Brother so-and-so, I was thinking about this. What do you think? And he's going to begin to speak to us and hopefully he or she is going to be in the Holy Ghost as well. And they're doing what they're supposed to do. And they're going to release something or speak to us or help us or give us some counsel. And all of a sudden, something's going to click and say, you know what? That's exactly what I was feeling. That's exactly what I felt the Holy Ghost talking to me about. That's exactly what I felt like God's word was speaking into my life. So we're going to probably find that the body ministering to the body many times is simply going to be confirmation. Order my steps according to your word. Let me tell you something. If we would take our questions, again, we need to take our questions to the book first. Watch this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, what? Richly. In all wisdom. See that? All wisdom. All wisdom. All wisdom is found in the words of Christ. And therefore, when the word of Christ is dwelling richly within us, we have access to all wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just say it again. Take it to God first. Take it to the church. Now, I know there are some very wise men and women in this church, very wise. And they are going to be many of you are going to be such a great blessing to the body of Christ as you begin ministering one to another. I've had many of you come to me and say, Pastor, so-and-so talked to me and needed some counsel, and I told them this and this and this. And as you begin to share with me what you told them, I remember thinking, and that's really good. I'm going to write that down, tell the next person. I never thought of it like that before. You use wisdom and you use great insight, spiritual insight. So I understand all that, and all of that's good and well. So by all means, take your needs to the body. Take your problems to the body. Take your issues to the body. God's going to work through them to be a blessing to you. But we can never forget that the book says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, speaking of our Lord and Savior, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Counselor. See that? Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is our counselor. Just as much as we know him to be wonderful, and just as much as we know him to be the mighty God, he wants us to know him to be our counselor. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost, in this place right now. The book says it like this, Romans chapter 16 and verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. And when we really stop to think about it, we'll begin to see, let's break it down to the practical sense. I mean, okay, God is our counselor, right? We see that, we know that, but what is our relationship like with God on that level of him being our counselor? Mighty God? Yes. We got that relationship. He's mighty God. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. But what is our relationship with him on the level of him being our counselor? Now, to help understand that, you got to ask yourself this question. Stop and think about it. For it doesn't make much sense, if we really believe he's our counselor, it doesn't make much sense when we're willing to spend hours with a human counselor and talk to God for 5 minutes. I'm going to help you right now. It doesn't make much sense if we would add up all of the time that we pick up the phone and call so-and-so and call so-and-so and call so-and-so. I need you to help me with the counsel me with this. Counsel me. Talk to me about this. I'm going through this. And we spend hours calling everybody we know. Everybody we know. What am I supposed to do? Which way am I supposed to go? And you add all that up. In the course of a week or a month, it's hours spent trying to get counsel from men. And then you stop and say, how much time have I spent talking to God, who is supposed to be my counselor, about this? And you start adding it up, and it's like, I don't know if I've talked to him at all about it. So who then is our counselor? Not only that, but let's take it to the next step. I've done enough counseling to know that the person needing the counseling will never hear the wisdom in the counsel that someone is trying to give them if they're the ones doing all the talking. Let me just give you an illustration. Somebody, you know, you say, Pastor, I got a need, I got an issue, I got a problem, can I meet you and whatever, sure, let's meet in the office. So you come to the office and you sit down and you start telling me about your need. Pastor, I got this and this and this, and 10 minutes goes by. You're still talking, and it's just this, and it's bad, and 20 minutes goes by. And Pastor, you just wouldn't believe it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and 30 minutes goes by. And then 30 minutes is up, and you're like, okay, thanks. And you walk out. Where was the counsel? Does that make any sense whatsoever in your mind? Would any of us ever do something like that? Would any of us ever set up a counseling appointment with a pastor or whatever and tell them the need for 30 minutes, and then when we're done telling the need, we get up and walk out? That makes no sense. And yet we do it all the time with God, who is our great counselor. We do it all the time. We come and we pray, God, I got a need. God, I got a problem. God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know what we're supposed to go. I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow. And when your 20 minutes is up, or when your 30 minutes is up, or when your time, you talk the whole time. And then when its time is up and you got to go, okay, God, I'll talk to you. I'll come back and ask you what to do tomorrow and not listen to you tomorrow either. We wouldn't do that in the natural. Why do we do that in the spirit? We wouldn't do that with a man counseling or a woman. Why do we do it with God as counseling? Is he our counselor or is he not our counselor? Now, watch this. If he is our counselor and we go to him as our counselor, we need to make sure that we're not only just bringing him the need, but we are waiting and prayerfully considering his counsel. Talk to me, God. Talk to me. Here it is. Here's the need. I love you. I'm going to wait here for your spirit to find the hidden wisdom in you and then release it to me. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes he can't get it through our thick skull. Sometimes he's got to fix other stuff quickly. The outside spigot on our house froze the other day, busted. I went to turn it on. Water came in Michaela's bedroom. How silly would it have been for me to go downstairs, vacuum up all of that water, get all that perfect, without first fixing the pipe? So what do you do first? Here's the issue. The issue is there's water all over the floor. But the thing I got to do first is fix something else so that I can then fix this. You see, oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Sometimes when we pray and say, God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do this. You say, here's the problem. But God says, yeah, that's what you think is the problem. But really, this is the problem. And I got to fix this first before I can then fix what you're talking about. And because I'm the counselor, I know what needs to be fixed first. So sometimes it takes a little time for God to kind of walk us back a little bit and for the Spirit to search the hidden things of God, release them to us, take us a few steps back so that we can say, okay, I didn't even know that was an issue. I didn't even know that was a problem. And that makes perfect sense because, God, you can't deal with me about what I'm talking about until first you just deal with me about what you're talking about. So deal with me here first and then move me to the next phase and then move me to the next phase. But it all has to do with our willingness to prayerfully consider and listen to his counsel. Oh, hallelujah. Watch this. Matthew 1:18. I'm hurrying. I'm almost done. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that means he was a righteous man, a spiritual man, no doubt a prayerful man, a man of prayer, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But watch. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and told him exactly what he was supposed to do. In a dream, the angel comes to him and says, fear not, take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Thank God Joseph listened to the counsel of God. While he thought, and no doubt prayerfully, he was a just man, no doubt prayerfully considered these things. Pray, God, what am I supposed to do? Mary, I love her. She's pregnant. And I'm just don't know for sure if I'm buying that whole story. I love her, and she's never lied to me before, but come on. That's never happened in the history of mankind. And so he prays. And while he thought on these things, the Lord speaks to him. I'm hurrying to a close, but we need to have an understanding of God as our counselor. Last point. We need to have a great understanding of God as our counselor. An understanding like Paul did when he was writing in the book of Romans about the Lord and what the Lord had established and what all the Lord had obtained and ordained. And he's talking about the Lord and all you can read about it. And he's talking about the Lord and all this awesome stuff that God's done and all these great things that the Lord has accomplished. And right in the middle of all of it, he stops. Romans 11:33, right in the middle of all of it, he just stops. And he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who could even come close to thinking like God thinks or giving counsel like God can give? Or who hath been his counselor? He's saying nobody needs to tell God what to do. He is the great counselor. But you got to see this. Paul writing to the Romans, and he's just talking about the Lord, and he's talking about the things of God. But then he just stops, and that oh there, it's an exclamation. It's like he lifted his voice, and you can see this as he's writing it. You could probably sense just that the feeling that was on him as he was writing this. He said, oh, how the richness of the wisdom of God the richness of the knowledge of God. It was as if he was simply overwhelmed by how great the knowledge and wisdom of God was. He was blown away by the understanding, the vastness of God's understanding and wisdom that the great counselor had. And I pray today as I close, I pray today that in this room, all of us, myself included, please don't just check out today. Don't just let this filter in and go in. Listen, do this. I pray that we would all get an understanding within us and get a revelation within us. For when we get that revelation of the depth of God's wisdom, when's the last time? We were talking about Sister Vivian. We were talking about your husband and all that stuff that transpired with him. If you don't know about it, talk to her about after church. Just how God was worked in her husband's life and people robbed him gunpoint and all this kind of stuff. But how God had worked prior to all of that. God had laid it on people's hearts days prior to begin to pray for him and for their family. See, when you see stuff like that, you just stop and say, oh, the richness of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. I didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew. He knew what was going to happen. When was the last time you were just overwhelmed? Oh. And my friend, when we are overwhelmed, let it not be by the wisdom of man. There's going to be moments when you talk to people and the body ministers to you and you're going to leave saying, man, so-and-so, they're really wise. But let the great understanding of God's wisdom be what causes us to be amazed the most. Am I making sense today? I pray that we would get that revelation in our hearts and in our spirits. That we take it to him. You see, because when you understand that he is the great counselor and you're blown away with his wisdom and you're blown away with his knowledge, you're going to want to love him more. And when you love him more, it releases the spirit to search the deep things, the hidden wisdom and truths that is needed specifically for your issue. And the Spirit will begin to talk to you. The Spirit will begin to release to you what it is that you need. Let's stand.